This is the Ethanol Report. I am speaking with Jeff Cooper, who is Senior Vice President for the Renewable Fuels Association, about a report that they just put out this week about food versus fuel again, and the fact that food prices aren't exactly lowering at the same time now that we've seen corn prices lower significantly. So, Jeff, tell us about this and what we're seeing right now in the marketplace.
We're looking at four-year lows for corn prices. We're expecting a record corn crop this fall, potentially a 10-year high in corn ending stocks. And yet we still have some of the big food manufacturers, grocery manufacturers, some of the oil companies perpetuating this food versus fuel argument. And, you know, we feel like it's been put to bed a dozen times by now, but it keeps rearing its ugly head. And I'm sure you recall that back in 2012, when we were fighting the worst drought in 50 years and corn prices were on the rise, a lot of the food companies, you know, threatened that they were going to pass those higher input costs, those higher grain costs, onto consumers almost immediately in the form of higher retail food prices. So now that corn prices have absolutely collapsed, and we're at a four-year low, and we're at half of the level we were two summers ago, we're sure not hearing anything this time around from the food companies about lowering retail food prices. And it's just, I think it really shines the light on the utter falsity of that entire food versus fuel argument.
What's the correlation between corn prices and the foods that we buy at the grocery store? Take dairy, for example, but I know there's other examples. What is there? What kind of correlation is there?
Well, in the report, we looked specifically at dairy, beef, pork products, and poultry and eggs, because those are products that do rely pretty heavily on corn as an input. So if there was any truth to the notion that higher corn prices mean higher retail food prices, you would see it in those products. And what we found is there isn't any evidence whatsoever that higher corn prices or I guess volatile corn prices were reflected in retail prices for those products. And specifically for dairy, we actually saw an inverse relationship at times. When you had corn prices moving higher, there were many periods over the last 7 years where milk and cheese prices were moving lower. So how anyone could argue that there's a direct relationship between the price of corn that the farmer's getting and the price that you're paying for milk in the grocery store, it's just there's nothing there. There's no correlation, no relationship.
Well, so this year what we're seeing is actually higher meat prices. Talk about that a little bit.
It's true that prices for beef and pork products are higher and have been maybe accelerating faster than usual this year. But those increases are happening at a time where we are seeing corn prices plunge. And again, corn prices have been decreasing for the last 2 years. They peaked at $7.63 a bushel in August of 2012 during the worst drought in 50 years, and have been on the decline ever since, and are now at half that price. About $3.80 was the July average, and obviously we're lower than that today. So these increases in beef and pork prices are coming at a time when corn prices have been on the fall. And there are other reasons driving those increases. Obviously, with beef, the cattle herds were substantially reduced in 2012 because of that drought, because of extremely poor pasture conditions and a short hay crop in the high plains, in the southwest, in other places where we have a lot of cow-calf operations. So that's the reason that we're seeing higher beef prices today. It's taken, you know, a year and a half or two for that impact to cycle through to the retail level. With pork, I mean, obviously, it's been widely reported and it's pretty well known what's happening in the pork market is the impact of the PED virus and the piglet casualties that resulted from that. And that goes along with strong demand. I mean, we're seeing record demand for pork exports It seems like you can't buy anything without bacon on top of it these days. So, I mean, it is, you know, there's just a lot of other factors that are driving the increases that we're seeing in the grocery store for beef and pork.
Well, talking again about corn prices and where we're at right now, we're looking at possibly corn prices being at or even below the cost of production. And now we don't have the safety net that we used to have when we had $1.75 corn. So tell us a little bit about what the situation is there exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, really since 2006, we did see corn prices accelerate. And again, there were a lot of reasons for that. And absolutely, growth in ethanol demand was partly responsible for higher corn prices. I mean, that was part of the reason that farmers invested in building an ethanol industry in the first place, was to increase the value of their commodities. Now, ethanol wasn't the reason for $8 corn, and it wasn't the reason for, you know, for $7 corn in 2010, but it absolutely played a role in increasing the value. You know, today we're in a situation where, you know, September corn is selling for $3.36 a bushel, and farmers in many parts of the country are losing money if they're selling corn at that price. You know, break-even prices, kind of depending on where you're at, are in the $4 to $4.25 per bushel range. So anything less than that means the farmer's losing money. As you mentioned, we have a different farm bill today than we had 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and that was partly made possible by the fact that farmers were earning their income from the marketplace, and there wasn't as much of a need for some of the safety net programs that had existed in the past. But we are quickly moving into a situation that has a lot of people worried in farm country about the you know, the low value of corn and the prospect that it's going to go lower. The other thing to remember is, you know, back in the era of $2 corn or $1.75 corn, it wasn't necessarily the farmer that was benefiting from the LDPs and the other, you know, farm program payments that were made available. It was the end users of that corn that was being produced at a price below the cost of production and sold at a price below the cost of production. So it was the you know, the livestock industry that was the beneficiary of those farm payments in the past. And, you know, again, we transitioned into an era really over the last 7 years where those types of payments weren't necessary and farmers were getting their income from the marketplace. But we're, you know, with this big record crop coming in and you know, not the greatest prospects for demand in the near term, you know, we're seeing prices fall back to those levels that in, again, in many places would be below the cost of production.
The whole point of your report this week is not really that the corn prices do not drive food prices, but there is a real driver of food prices. And what is that, Jeff?
Well, you know, I think it's broadly understood that every step of the supply chain, when we're talking about food, is directly impacted by energy prices. And that's because energy is needed at every step in the process, whether you're talking about the farmer putting diesel fuel in his tractor during planting season or in the combine when he's harvesting, or you know, trucking and the reliance of trucking on diesel fuel to get commodities and food products from point A to point B, or whether you're talking about the packaging, you know, the plastic wraps and all that. It's all entirely reliant on energy markets and more specifically on crude oil. So when you look at the relationship between crude oil prices and food prices, you see a very strong relationship. You know, statistically, the correlation coefficient between food prices and oil prices is almost a perfect correlation. It's 0.96, and one would be a perfect correlation. So if you want to know what drives food prices, you know, it's obviously the energy markets and more specifically crude oil.
And thank you very much. That's Jeff Cooper with the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman with the Ethanol Report.